This is the last in a series of sermons that that grow out of our 30 days of prayer. In that 30 days of prayer, it was revealed to the congregation several things. One, that we need unity in purpose. We need, as a congregation, humility to do the work together, and obedience. The congregation needs to be seeking the Lord's face and be in His Word. We decided to do backwards. The first one was on obedience, knowing that that's primary. Humility, as we look into God's Word, we're naturally humbled as we see God's love pouring through the pages and reaching out to each and every one of us. And when we talk about the individual work that God has given us at Lower Deer Creek, that unity of purpose needs to grow from the other two as well. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word. And we pray that, as we've already seen this morning, You would move in our midst. Now, Lord, You know that I studied. I've got a lot of notes on a piece of paper. I surrender that to You, Lord, and pray that You would use these lips of clay to bring a message to us that we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You loan your Bible to somebody and they lose their page, lose your page. Some of you know that I was doing custom hay baling. And I worked with a man by the name of Mark Samuelson, Armin Samuelson's son. If any of you are connected with Heston, you might know those names. And Mark had a hay monster. Now, a hay monster is basically a 2-ton truck where you take everything off the chassis above the rails, you put a flatbed on it with an elevator down it, and on the front is this wonderful schnoot. It's a schnoot that goes down in the field. You pick up your bales. It's wonderful. When you go to the barn, you turn it backwards and you shove them up in the barn with that elevator. So it's a 2-ton truck that you can put 200 bales on. Pretty massive piece of equipment. Mark was actually working for me that day and was heading down a nice road so he could get up good speed with 200 bales of prairie hay on that hay monster. When the steering knuckle broke. So at 50 miles an hour, Mark was sitting in front of this load with no steering whatsoever. There were two men on top of the load who Mark let know that, guys, I ain't steering this anymore. And every time he put on the brakes, the load went towards the ditch. So Mark knew that there was going to be a time, if they were actually going to survive this, that they would have to jump. So he said, guys, I'm going to put the brakes on really hard and try to get it down to where we can jump off this thing. And so they decided that's what they were going to do. And Mark hit the brakes really hard, and the two guys on top of the load jumped off the back of the load. And as the load went into the ditch, Mark jumped off. The load lost half of the bales. And all of a sudden, the hay monster was back on its wheels again and went down the ditch all the way to the creek where it found this humongous, had to be the biggest tree in the whole creek, huge oak tree, where it took that snout, hit it square, and went right around the tree. So when I found it, they called me to fix it. When I found it, it was obvious that if Mark had stayed in that seat, he would have been killed with 200 bills. We lost that load because the driver could no longer steer. The machine had no longer the ability to be steered by anybody else, and it took the natural course of weight, inertia, and energy to its own destruction. Someday there might be cars that really drive themselves. But until then, most everything that travels the road needs to have somebody at the wheel. Unity of purpose could be translated into, we need somebody at the wheel to help us go the same direction. It's not unique to us at Lower Deer Creek. It's not unique to Christians in this day and age. It's an age-old problem of God's people. If you go through the Old Testament and scan through the pages, you'll find that time and time and time again, God was trying to help His people understand where He was leading them. And as a faithful shepherd, He was always working at trying to lead His people. And we often seem to always get in the way saying, well, I'd sort of like to do this, or I'd sort of like to do that. Hey, Adam had that problem, you know. Oh, hey, I think the serpent has a good idea. Looks like good fruit. Let's chow down. To the time of the judges, when everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Till the frustration got so high that they said, well, you know what, God, I think we're going to shelve you and ask for a king. And Samuel led them to a king. And that kingship of earthly kingship actually led them downhill. See, God has always put it in our hands to have the choice as to how and when and if we would allow Him to lead our lives. Not only individually, but also as groups of people. The difference is that we live on this side of the cross. We live in the New Testament. And we have God's Word and the example of Jesus Christ with whom to register whether or not the Holy Spirit is leading in a certain direction. The passage I chose for this morning is interesting because it engages the original people with what was going on through Jesus Christ. You see, the apostles were unified in their purpose. That had happened through the movement of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They were unified in this purpose as they could see that Jesus was actively changing lives, beginning with their own. They had seen the Holy Spirit pour out so that they could speak the gospel in somebody else's language, and they would actually understand it. They were so moved by the movement of the Holy Spirit and Jesus changing their lives that they were generous with one another. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, we see that generosity in that they had all things in common and no one was in want. We see it again in Acts chapter 5 when Barnabas actually sells his land and gives the money to the apostles for the work. We see the miracles in the book of Acts. They were common. So when we see this particular healing in Acts chapter 3, I'm moved by the fact that here in the midst of this prayer time, they were going to prayer time, Peter makes a case before the very people who killed Jesus. If you would turn to Acts chapter 3, I'd like to read beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man, crippled from birth, this wasn't some accident that happened down the road, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Wow. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And then you have the passage that Jim read this morning. That passage that not only says, hey guys, I didn't do this miracle. This miracle was done in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. And guys, let me let you in on this. You killed him. You talk about unity of purpose. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about John. It was about Jesus. And Peter goes on to say, "Guys, you had all your prophets tell you that Jesus was coming. And when he finally came, you up and missed it. But this same Jesus loves you. Confess your sins, and he's yours." If we could only find unity around God's purpose for us, if we could only approach the needs of this community, of the families in this community, of the individuals in this community, and share with them Jesus Christ as the one who can heal their wounds as he has healed ours, as the one who can heal the brokenness that happens between us at any given time, as Jesus has healed ours and is healing ours. I would propose that we allow the unity of purpose to be unified for His purpose, for God's purpose, for the purpose of Jesus in this community. I'm not sure we'll always get it right, but I know to whom I'd like to get direction from. A word that was shared with me by one of you during that 30 days of prayer was that we see a straight line to our destination, but as a congregation, we'll probably go across it a couple times getting there, zigzagging our way, but always coming to the center and finding our way in Christ, back to God's path. God has always given us a choice to put Him first or not. To allow God to lead us means that we must surrender to His guidance. We must allow Him to steer us where we go. So many of us, I think, are a little like that hay monster. The steering has come loose, and we just sort of allow each and every day to move us where we go. We might lose half the load and right ourselves in the ditch, and ultimately we'll end up in the creek around an oak tree. But I challenge us this morning to be unified in the purpose that Christ has given us. I don't think He's put us here at the corner of 540th Street and Cockins Avenue for His entertainment, although I imagine we are entertaining. But I think God has put us here for a purpose. I think He's drawn us together at this time for a reason. I think He's calling us forward to something that is uniquely given to us as a congregation for His kingdom, for His honor, for His glory, just like this healing was given to Jesus by Peter for His honor and glory. And the man was jumping and leaping and praising God. But it takes surrender. A genuine surrender of the heart. Saying, it's not my way. It's not your way. Let's genuinely search for God's way. Let's surrender to His will. Let's seek Him out in prayer. Let's see where God is leading us. Each and every day. So that our movement together with God in our midst is not just done here on Sunday morning in 2.5 hours. But we're led together as a community of faith from our prayer time in the morning and our devotions to what happens on our way to work, to how we interact with our co-workers. We genuinely seek Jesus and what God would be doing through us at any minute, at any moment, at any time. And it could be dangerous stuff. Because when our forefathers and our foremothers were led by this Spirit in the past, it often led to persecution and hardship and trials and tribulation. For when we unify with the purpose that God has, it's not always the easiest path, but it is the best. It is the best. God seems to have a way in the midst of each and every day to nudge us in a direction. And often we fight Him a little bit. I mean, sort of like when I got my call to ministry, I thought, are you sure, Lord? And as we yield and surrender ourselves to God, those moments will come our way. Justin Wheeler Van Deventer. How would you like to go through your life with a name like that? Struggled with the call to ministry, as many of us who are called to ministry struggle with that call. And he describes the day that he surrendered to the call of God on his life like this. The song was written while I was conducting a meeting at East Palestine, Ohio, the home of George Sebring, the founder of Sebring Camp Meetings and Bible Conference. For some time I had struggled between developing my talents in the field of art. Actually, he could play 13 instruments well. So he was an artist by nature, and he enjoyed that. And whether he would do that or go into full-time evangelistic work, at the pivotal hour of my life, I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life, and I became an evangelist and discovered deep down in my soul a talent hitherto unknown to me. God had hidden a song in my heart, and touching a tender chord, He caused me to sing the song, I Surrender All. His life influenced the lives of others. And Reverend Billy Graham says that he was influenced by this man One of the evangelists who influenced my early preaching was also a hymnist known to write, "I Surrender All," J.W. Van Deventer. He spent time with him while he was at Bible college. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we can hardly fathom what the kingdom will do through us for the glory of Almighty God if we would but surrender our lives to His purpose and in that find our unity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You for the privilege You've given us to be a body of Christ here. To come together as brothers and sisters around our experience of You as our Lord and Savior. Oh Lord, thank You for loving us so. Forgive us when we keep it to ourselves. Guide us, Lord, as we surrender all to You. And even in the midst of the storms, we praise You for the peace that You will give us beyond all understanding. May Your peace go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. To close, let us sing, "I Surrender All."